My name is Chris and I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
Welcome everybody. There's a little more people than I thought. I actually didn't even realize it was a speaker meeting when Gil asked me until my buddy Keenan sent me the flyer a few days ago. Welcome to the new people. There's four or five of you here. We're glad that you're here tonight. Hopefully you hear something that makes you want to come back and stick around. I am also an addict of anything that makes me feel better, changes the way I think, people, places, things, women, jobs, fitness, drugs, all of it. I like it all and I like a lot of it until it ruins my life. And that's how it's been since I was very young. I was born in San Luis Obispo. My parents were born there as well. And when I was 9 months old, my dad dove into Lopez Lake on a camping trip and broke his neck and was paralyzed. And I don't remember that, but I remember my first memories being in the valley, in crappy little apartments that my mom lived in, and not knowing if my dad was going to walk again or what. And that's kind of how my life started. My mom is an alcoholic as well. Hopefully one day she'll come in the rooms, but she's not right now. And my first memories of life were just being dragged around from party to party, from a single mom, and being very angry at the world. I never felt cared about or safe. I just felt like I was kind of being taken place to place. And I don't think that you can really base your childhood off anybody else's. It's all you when you're growing up. So I grew up a little dysfunctional, I think, like most of us. And I started acting out at a very young age, trying to get attention in school. I would throw stuff at the teachers. I would say bad words. They'd rinse my mouth out with soap, and it didn't work. And it just carried on like that all through high school until about seventh grade is when my friend James, he was like, we're going to go hit up homeless people and they're going to buy us a beer and we'll buy them one. And so we went like bum hunting on the train tracks in San Luis Obispo, and I got a 40 ounce, I believe it was Budweiser, and it was really big, and I thought it was so cool. I was like 12 years old. My 12-year-old son is here. He's going to hear some things tonight that he hasn't heard before, but luckily I'm sober, and he's going down a different path than I did. I drank that thing. It seemed so big, and I felt so cool, and that was it. That was it. I found the key to like why I hated this world and why everything just, I felt so uncomfortable in my skin. That was it. And I drank that thing and threw up everywhere and was like, let's do it again. By seventh grade, I was already a problem drinker, getting in trouble at school. And then I started smoking weed. And by high school, the crime started. And I don't think my parents knew how to handle it. Luckily, my stepdad came into my life when I was about seven and he was sober. And he never drank, and he just put up with my mom's drinking. And he was about the most stable role model I had in my life until my stepmom came in. And I started getting arrested in high school. I had like 10 minors in possession. I had theft of a boat. I was so good at drinking. It was like the best thing. I was amazing at it. I could drink so much faster than anybody. I could shotgun beers. We'd take 40s to our hands, and that was like, it became literally my image. That's who I was. Like, I was the guy that would like, at the end of the night at the party, I'm pouring all the cups into one cup and mixing it together. And I like to go to people's houses and fight them after they invited me into their house and steal food out of their fridge. That's how I would grocery shop. And when I turned 18, that's when I realized that you can't do the same things you can when you're a minor. And I went to a Cal Poly party, and an incident occurred, and I had a baseball bat in my pants, and I ended up hitting five Cal Poly students with a baseball bat. And that was the first time my mom couldn't help me, really. I remember sitting in that cell and them telling me, I called my mom, I was on the news everywhere. It was a big deal, and my bail was $500,000, and I was not going anywhere. And I was terrified putting that little orange suit on, but I'm a chameleon. I adapt. So within a week, I'm playing cards and doing push-ups like everybody else. I was offered 10 years, and to hear that at 19 years old is pretty scary. I had a public defender. My grandmother came in and got me a lawyer, and I ended up doing almost three. And I got out right before my 21st birthday, and my lawyer was like, Chris, just go home. But the alcoholic in me didn't think that alcohol was my problem. I thought that the world and my parents and everything else was my problem. And so I went downtown and got blacked out drunk and got a felony DUI and crashed my car into a stoplight in front of a police officer on my 21st birthday and was back in custody within 2 weeks. And my life just carried on like that for a long time. Alcohol was the solution to all of my problems, and it was the cause of all my problems, and I did not know that. I would get assigned treatment programs, and I would just sign them off. I would lie to everybody around me to keep on doing what I was doing. And when I was 25 years old, my son right here was born. And that was the first time in my life that I knew I wanted to change. I just didn't know how. And I continued living the way, making empty promises to his mom until she took him from me. And that's when I hit rock bottom for the first time. I was 27 years old, and I asked for help. And I was led to a meeting at the Alano Club in SLO. And there was a guy sitting up there with 6 months, and he had just got his kids back. He had a job. He looked happy. And I heard it. I just heard it. And that was in 2013, and I hit the ground running. I got a sponsor. I joined the sober softball team. I went to the young people's meetings. I did all the things that were suggested until I got what I wanted. And then I decided that I could do this on my own. And I got into a relationship, and I became engaged. We had a nice house. I had a baby on the way. And I just stopped coming to the rooms. I just started doing things my way, and without even realizing it, my old character habits were coming back, all my defects, everything. I just didn't drink or use, so I just told everybody else what they needed to do. And I was pretty miserable. And when I had about 4 years, the man who had raised me for most of his life committed suicide. He shot himself, and it broke me. And I fell into depression, and my fiance at the time left me. And here I was in this nice house and all these things I had gotten just from not drinking for so many years. And I was miserable. I was at probably the lowest I'd ever been. And I thought, you know what? I could probably have a beer. And I went to the liquor store and I bought a tall can and I set it on my dresser and I stared at that thing until it got warm. And I was like, you know what? I cracked it and I drank it, and I didn't really feel much. So I said, you know, I should probably get three more of these things. And I went back to the store and I got three more, and the music got a little louder, and that feeling just kind of went away, and it started working again. Like, it worked again. And I was like, I'll just go to the bars, and tomorrow morning I'll go back to the meetings and the rooms, and I'll identify as a newcomer. And I didn't do that. Instead, I started using alcohol in every form possible, crystal form. And I went from a problem drinker to a fifth of vodka to a half a gallon every day and 3 grams of crystal alcohol every day. And I lost everything. I didn't know I could go that low. I ended up, it just got really bad. And I was, I just wanted to die, basically. And I had a moment of clarity after about 2 years of doing that every day. And I got a phone call from the manager of Middle House Sober Living in SLO, from Jason there. And he offered me a bed. And I said, go fuck yourself. And it got really cold that night. And I called him back and I said, you know what? I think I'll take that bed. And something changed in a spiritual awakening, or whatever you want to call it, my higher power. I knew that I was done. And that was December 1st of 2019, and I moved into sober living. And after numerous days of violently throwing up and shaking and trembling, I got a sponsor, I got commitment. I just did everything that was suggested for the first time. My reservations were gone. I found a sponsor that I could trust. If you're new, I suggest you get one. I thoroughly worked my steps. I spent a long time on them, and I did them to the best of my ability. I picked up commitments. I cleaned up cigarette butts in parking lots. I washed coffee cups. I eventually became involved in area. In the other program, I was the secretary for activities for the county. I got to plan like 300 people events. I got to do things I never did when I was out there using. I was never part of no clubs or the student, you know, council or anything like that. So I've got to do those things now in my life. I have my children, I have two wonderful children that I spend, you know, majority of my time with. I sponsor a lot of men. I've had a sponsee die last year. He's 26 years old. And I've got to do all these things now with a clear head, and for the first time in my life, I can say that I'm happy. And that's because of these rooms and this program. In April of last year, I got a call and was offered a job as the assistant manager of Middle House Sober Living. So I got to go back to the place that saved my life, and I still reside there right now. And I'm putting myself through barber college. I'm going to be a licensed barber here probably by the end of this month. Yeah, that's right. My boy right here, I got my best friends here. We go to barber school together. You know, I have a support group. I have real friends, and I'm a real friend. When people call me, I show up. If I make a commitment, I'm there. That's why I'm here tonight. I was nervous, but I'm here, right? Because if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And if I can't, I let you know why, honestly. And that's what I learned here. I don't do things perfectly, and just about the only thing I've done perfectly is I have not used anything that changes the way I feel. I don't smoke anything, I don't drink anything, and I try not to use people. It's been a long journey, and I know that this time I've learned that. I used to say I'll never drink again. I don't say that anymore. I just say I'm not going to drink or use today, and it's worked out pretty well so far. And I suggest that if you're here and you're new, just listen or ask somebody, because I still have to ask people all the time for things. I don't know how to do a lot of things. I'm still learning how to be an adult in a lot of ways. And there's somebody in here that knows everything. I have so many people I can call on, you know. I have real ass friends. I'm a good dad. I'm a good son. I'm a good friend. I'm a good brother. I'm all the things that I could never be before. And I only have that because of these rooms. And I'm more than grateful for everything that I have in my life. And I thank you all for coming tonight.